See, of not holding a microphone, so if y'all realize that I start holding it the wrong way so that you can't hear me, somebody like give me the signal, move that mic so that I can you can hear me. I'm going to make myself a little bit of space because I'm used to these not being here as well. I'm really excited to be back. Is this our first service we've had in a long time? Man, I didn't know if I was the first one to get preached or not. They always say they serve the, or wait. Man, I don't even know what I'm trying to say. Best for last, but I guess y'all got best first this time. I'm really, really, really excited about what God's doing. I don't know what He's doing. I don't know what He's going to do in this year, but I'm just super pumped about this coming year. And I guess being that I am the first one to get to preach a Wednesday night service in the new year, I'm going to kind of go with that mentality of not only is this a new year, but this is also a new decade. So if you didn't like the way last year turned out, you got a new year. But if you didn't like the way last decade turned out, guess what? You got a whole new decade ahead of you. So I'm really excited about what's going to happen. I have a rather simple service or sermon tonight, but sometimes I find that even in the simplest of things, God gives the greatest revelation. So like I said, I do have a simple story tonight, and I do want to preach that. But before I start, I'd like to just start out in prayer. Lord God, I just praise You, and I thank You so much for this opportunity once again to just have the privilege and the honor of getting to be in Your presence, God, to get to speak Your Word, God. I pray that Your Holy Spirit will just rest on me tonight, Lord. Let it not be my words that go out, but Lord, let it be the words of the Holy Spirit, God, as You give me the utterance, God. Let our ears be open and our eyes be, Lord, just captivated on You in Your presence and what You want us to receive out of this sermon tonight. It's all these things we ask and we pray in Your holy name. Amen. So is it me that when I move around, does it crack or is it supposed to do that? So I have to stand still as well. Oh, that was y'all. Okay. All right. I was just making sure I didn't have to stand still too. You already got me like semi-handicapped. If I can't move, I don't know what I'll do. We'll just go home. Oh, you got me? Can you hear me?
Oh, yes.
You can hear me? Yeah. All right. So now I can preach like I want to preach. All right, if you want to be opening your Bible to Jonah, it's really easy to look over if you're not careful. It's right after Obadiah, right before Micah. Right there in the very end of the Old Testament. So if you got one of the little electronic ones, it starts with a J. Just type that in, it'll pull it up for you. And I guess I'm just going to start out, you know how I like to preach. So I'm going to start out telling the story. If you're not there yet, just keep looking. It's in there, I promise. It's only like a page and a half. That's why it's hard to find. Okay, so the story of Jonah, most of us have heard this story before, but I want to put, I don't know, my own spin on it, I guess. Story of Jonah starts out with a guy. His name is Jonah, kind of giving away in the name. But he's a preacher, he's a prophet. And the word of the Lord says that it comes to Jonah and tells him to go to Nineveh and preach the gospel to them because they're a wicked, wicked city. I was like, I don't really like that idea. I'm gonna do something else. And that always works well. So Jonah goes down to the docks. And he's like, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to Tarshish, which is 2,500 miles the opposite direction from where I'm supposed to be going. So he boards a boat. He runs down there and he's like, hey, I need a ride. And they're like, okay, we'll pay your fare. You can ride with us. We don't care. You know, you give us money, we'll take you anywhere you want to go. So he jumps on the boat and he takes off across the ocean and sea. And they get out in the middle of the sea, and all of a sudden, it says that a storm blows in. You know, sometimes in life, I really wish I could say, in my life, I've never faced a storm that was of my own doing. I would love to say that a lot of times, or most of the time, that every storm I've ever faced is because somebody else did something. I would love to be able to say that. But if we're all real honest with ourselves tonight, we can say that some of those storms that we faced in life are probably because we're not doing what we were supposed to be doing. So, Jonah goes out and all of a sudden they're in this storm. You know, the boat's tossing to and fro and there's water coming in, and all the sailors, they're taking, you know, everything that they've got out of the boat and they're throwing it out to give it more leverage so that it doesn't sink. And Jonah is, side note here, anybody play hide and seek? Yeah? Man, y'all are one quiet crowd tonight. I'll let y'all in on a little secret. I'm a pretty terrible hide and seek player. I get this, like, anxiety. For some reason, every time I hide, I feel like I have to cover my body, like, completely. Like, you can't just hide in the corner or get out of the way. Like, you have to cover your entire body completely, where you can't breathe, you can't move. And all of a sudden, you're in the corner of the room, and you know that somebody's walked in. And you're like, you get this, like, your chest starts, like, you can hear it in your ears. And you hear it, you feel it, and you're like, they're like, well, I know exactly where we're doing that. You know, because he's over in the corner, the sheet's shaking. I'm terrible. I'm terrible at hide and seek. Jonah thinks he can play hide and seek with God, but let me tell you something. God is a master. He is not like me. God is a master hide and seek player. So Jonah takes off. He's like, I'll just hide from God. I'm going to go down into the bottom of this ship. I'm going to go to sleep. And I'm going to sail 2,500 miles the opposite direction. So Jonah's down there. He's asleep. The wind's coming. The waves are coming. The people running down there are like, Jonah, start praying or something. We don't really know what's going on. We're about to die. You're just down here sound asleep. And so Jonah's like, well, okay. And so they get up and Jonah's like, well, I tell you what, this is really my fault, which is good. You know, the first step of realizing that you've got a problem or getting to a solution for your problem is admitting that you have a problem. So Jonah's like, you know what? It's kind of my fault. So well, what are we going to do? And Jonah's like, well, I'll tell you what we'll do. Y'all throw me overboard. And at first, we've all experienced this in some form or fashion in our life. You know how, like, when you do something for somebody and they try to pay you, but you kind of want to be paid, but you don't really want to act like you don't want to be paid. So you do something for somebody. This is kind of like the mentality I think that the sailors have at this point. They're like, no, we're really nice people. We're not going to throw you overboard. And then the waves keep coming. They're like, well, you know, if you insist, we'll oblige. So they chuck Jonah overboard, and this is the part where, like, I guess my imagination runs wild. This is why I am a youth pastor, because you, as an older person, I'm sure you're going to get a sense of my imagination. But for teenagers, especially in this moment, I let my imagination just run with it. So I see Jonah being thrown overboard, and the Bible doesn't specifically say exactly what transpires in this next few moments. It just says that once Jonah is overboard, the seas and the waves and the winds begin to dissipate and it starts to calm. So in my mind, I don't know when, not to give too much of a foreshadow, but most of you know where this is going. I don't know if immediately, like as soon as Jonah's thrown into the water, a fish just comes up and swallows him. I don't know if, like, when he falls into the water, he just starts sinking and, like, everybody's like, well, I guess he drowned. That's terrible. But for some reason in my mind, I have this picture of, like, it's just like a terrible sea, though it's cloudy, and they throw him overboard and then just kind of everything calms down. And I've got in my mind Jonah, like, in his, like, clothes, just kind of like wading in the water beside the boat. And the guys are, like, looking over him. They're like, so what do we do now? Do we help him back in? You know, we just, you know, they're like, well, you know, last time he was in the boat, it got stormy. So if we put him back in the boat, it might be stormy again. So they're just kind of looking at him. And Jonah's still here, just kind of like treading water. And they're just kind of, they're like, well, do we throw him a life jacket? What do we do at this point? So this is where my imagination, and all of a sudden, while they're talking, they're like huddled up, trying to figure out what they're going to do with Jonah. Just this huge fish just like, gloop, and swallows him. And he disappears. In my mind, this is how I've got it pictured. It's just like, and they're like, well, I guess that answers that question. you know, what do you do? You know, like, this dude was on our boat. It was a storm. He's like, oh, it's my fault. All of a sudden, they're like, well, it's your fault. We're throwing you in the water. He goes in the water. Everything calms down. And then he died and everything's better. You know, in their mind, that's what they see. And I'm nowhere near any kind of note at all. So this is just how I imagine it. You know, like, Jonah's running from God, and God's like, surprise, you can run, but you can't hide. And then a fish swallows him. And then I do love seafood. You put me down at like Dewey Destin's and hand me some crab legs. Oh, Lord. Everybody else in the world fades away. It is just me and those crab legs for a few moments. I love that. But when I leave a restaurant, like that fish smell that's just like on you. Oh, it's terrible. Could you imagine being in the belly of a fish? It's terrible. Just like engulfed in fish juice, like belly juices. I'll be honest with you. He is in a terrible, terrible, terrible place. I'm going somewhere with this. It's just, I mean, it's awful. So, what? I don't know what I've done or what I've said, but yeah, it just whips out his iPhone and just starts scrolling through Facebook. So Jonah's just kind of in the belly of fish. This is not like Pinocchio, Geppetto, hanging out in the belly of a whale on their boat, rocking in the ocean. This is like wrapped up in fish guts. So Jonah's there, and he does the only logical thing that everybody else in the entire world would do, complain. No, he worships. Is that not so weird? I find this so weird that in the midst, like, in the belly of a fish swimming through the ocean, Jonah is worshiping. He's like, you know what? This is a terrible place. I'm in a terrible position. Everything, really, truly, life cannot get any worse at this point. I've literally been eaten alive. I think I'll praise God a minute. Wow. So I'm like, what does Jonah know that we don't know? Why on earth would he do that? And then the only thing that I can deduce is that Jonah realizes something that we all know, but we don't put into action, is that we cannot allow our circumstance dictate our faith. But on the other hand, we need to allow our faith dictate our circumstance. He was in the worst position in his life physically, but in all reality, since we've started the scripture, we're halfway through the book of Jonah at this point. Since we've started the book of Jonah, this is the first time we've seen Jonah where God intended him to be. Now, his situation looks bleak. Everything in his life looks terrible at this moment. But for the very first time since we started opening the book of Jonah, we see God has him exactly where he's supposed to be. I think maybe a side note here that I should preach on that I don't have time to preach on entirely. But I think sometimes in life, it's okay to be alone. You know, Jonah was on the boat with a lot of people. A lot of people with different backgrounds, a lot of people that, you know, they here, there, whatever their situation was. He was there with a lot of people. But then once God got him alone, God got his attention. You know, a lot of times in life, we want to fill it up with noise and people and this and that. We like companionship, and the thing about companionship for us is oftentimes we try to find companionship from the people that we are comfortable with, but most of the time, the people that we are most comfortable with are in the place and position that we either used to be in or that we are currently in. But I believe God is trying to tell us something in this new year, that we need to get that mentality out and start on the people that are where we want to be. You know the saying, kind of dress for the job you want, not the job you have. Get friends for the type of life that you want to have, not the type of life that you used to have. So back to our story. Jonah finds himself all alone and he starts praising God. And I just love how God works. Jonah's like, you know what? I'm sorry. The whole little like part of chapter 2 of this is he's just kind of like talking to God. And this is where I'm getting to. It says, the Lord spoke to the fish and it vomited. That's a terrible word. Jonah up on dry land. Just puked him up on dry land. And in the very next scripture, I believe, speaks profoundly into our generation. It says, the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. A second time. I'm gonna tell a little story, and then I'm going to get back to this story. A few nights ago, my little girl's birthday, Sky's birthday, is on December the 29th. So a few nights ago, we decided we're going to do like a little, New Year's Eve party / birthday party for Sky. So everybody gets to the house, you know, it's 6:30, and we eat cupcakes and chili and, you know, just the normal little like, birthday party type stuff. And starts getting a little bit later, and it gets darker. And we go outside and we shoot a wonderful fireworks put on by yours truly. Yeah. A little bit of a pyromaniac, so that was wonderful for me. So I shoot off a little fireworks show. And then at the end of that, we kind of like sit around a little campfire. Everybody's hanging out. And we go back inside and it's like 8:30-ish. And we're like, okay, about time to wrap this up. So we pull out the, I don't know if it's Netflix or YouTube or whatever it is. And we start turning on the countdown for the kids. So it's 8:30. Everybody over the age of, 20 is tired and ready to go to bed. Like, you know, I went through a bunch of these New Year's. This next year is going to be just the same. You count down from 10 to 1, and then it's over, and then you go to sleep. So, we'll just turn on a video and let the kids do it. So, we watch one video, and they're pumped. They're stoked. They're like, yeah! So, well, let's watch another video. So, we progress for the next 2 hours to watch video after video of countdowns. And we're thinking, you know, eventually, these kids are going to get tired. No. I find myself, after most everybody else has decided just to go home, in my living room with my little sister, her boyfriend, one of my younger cousins, and 5 or 6 kids under the age of 9 in the living room, and they have caught something, not physically, but a lot of people are like, they're like, oh, I'm so tired. And all of a sudden they get rejuvenated and they're like, oh, I've caught my second wind. I have 8 kids in my living room who have caught their second wind. And I'm like, what am I going to do? Tasha's just like chilling out in the bedroom watching some TV show. And I'm like, oh my gosh. So I'm just hanging out with these kids. And I'm like, this is ridiculous. You know, it is a 100% like scientific fact that there is such thing as a second wind. It's whenever your body just like gets so tired and just wore out that it just like releases endorphins into your body and it's like, hey, you feel better. Why don't you stay up for another couple hours? This is what my children have got. And I'm, you know what? Okay, let's party on. So we party on till midnight, and then when I find myself, I'm okay. Literally, we've got to go to sleep. I feel like for a lot of us, 2019 has been a pretty tough year. I feel like it's been a great year. Man, there's been some tough times, especially if I look over the past decade. 2010 to 2020 was a tough time frame for me in my life. And I think most of you could say the same. And as I look back, I'm like, God, I really need something else. I'm so tired and I'm so exhausted and I don't know what I'm supposed to do. And I don't feel good. I need a second wind. I need you to come and just blow through here and rejuvenate me. You know, just something to revive my spirit and my soul and to make me think about the next 10 years and be like, wow, God's got something in store. I had to get through this message before I ever gave it to you. And that's why I started out the very beginning of my sermon letting you know how excited I am about this next year. I'm 28 years, 364 days old. That means my birthday tomorrow. In the past 29 years, I don't believe I have been any more excited about the future. Jonah was sent out with a mission. Just like most of us, I believe God has birthed a mission, a vision, a dream, aspirations, hope, a destiny in your life. But somehow, whether it be by your own doing or just being associated in the boat with somebody else, you've come on to some storms. Sickness comes. Unplanned financial circumstances have come. Maybe a loss, a death, you know, something that you can't control has come and it's just kind of swept your feet out from under you. And now you're just kind of like bobbing through the ocean in the belly of a stinking fish. And you're like, I don't really know what's next. I believe I was sent tonight to remind you, and I don't speak this under my own authority, but I believe I speak this under the authority of the one who sent me when I tell you that I believe your greatest blessings are coming right behind some of your biggest breakings. You know, I feel like a lot of us have went through some tough times. We've had some tough breaks. Some stuff hasn't worked out quite like we hoped it would. Maybe you're not exactly at the point in life that you thought you would be by this point. But I believe you need to keep your eyes focused on the one who has the second calling. A second vision, a second wind. I believe that the Lord is saying a second time to you, get up, dust yourself off, get back on your feet, because I'm not through with you. Jonah goes on. He doesn't just go on and like, oh, okay, well, I got puked out of the belly of a whale. I'm just going to go back to doing whatever I was doing. No, he takes himself and he goes to Nineveh, and it says he takes a 3-day journey throughout Nineveh, and he changes the ideology of the people in Nineveh. He takes a wicked and broken and decrepit town, a decrepit city that God was literally getting ready to wipe off the face of the map, and he preaches the gospel to them, and every single one of them have a change in heart, and it says that God saves the city. You have a purpose, you have a plan, you have a destiny. God has a calling on your life. But as long as you continue to either go in the wrong direction or wallow in the belly of a fish, you're never going to get to the point that God has called you to be at. But if you'll find, I don't know, some inner space and say that I'm going to worship where I'm at until my situation gets better, I'm not going to allow my situation or my circumstance to dictate where I'm at or to dictate my feelings or my faith or my belief system in God, but rather I'm going to take all of that and I'm going to put on to test what I know. God says, test me and know that I'm good. Put your faith to the test and say, God, you know what? My situation, to be honest with you, it sucks right now. It's pretty crappy. Everything in my life, it's not so great right now. But I'm willing to take where I'm at and say, you know what? I'm moving on. I'm going to begin to worship you exactly where I'm at, and I'm going to keep worshiping you. I'm going to keep serving you. I'm going to keep doing what you've called me to do until my situation changes and until I see what I want to see be done. So, and I'm closing if somebody can come to the piano for me. Hallelujah. I'm not supposed to be done. I don't know. That's all, folks. Oh, Lord. I really do believe with my entire being that this year is going to be different. I do. I just have something that I can't explain, something that I couldn't put my hand on, something that I don't know. But God has just been dealing with me over the last few weeks and months about what's going to come in 2020. And I don't know. I wish I could be like, oh yeah, at the end of the year, this is what's going to happen. It's going to be awesome. And I could tell you, I wish I was like one of those prophetic people that could just point people out, tell you social security number, tell you everything that's going on in your life, and be like, God is going to change your situation. This is where you're going to be. I don't. I don't even know for myself. But what I do know is that it's going to be different. And it's going to be better. And I know by far this is not my greatest sermon I've ever preached, but it's the word that God sent me with tonight. And I'm here to tell you, it's going to be better. You can bank on it. It's going to be better. It's a new year. It's a new decade. It's a new me. God says, you know, put away the former things and start focusing on the latter things. I'm making all things new. Everything is new. Everything is going to be different. Everything is going to be better. I just refuse to end this year. I refuse to end 2020 the same way that I ended 2019. I refuse to end 2029 the same way that I ended 2019. I refuse. And if you'll get that mentality and you'll get that into your being, it may not be some drastic change that all of a sudden tomorrow you wake up and the birds are singing and it's a Disney story fairy tale. That may not be what you experience, but every single day, little by little, if you'll just put your hand to the plow, the Bible says that he who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not worthy of the kingdom of God. But if you'll put your hand to the plow and you'll just keep digging and keep digging and keep pushing, and every little stump, every little rock, everything in your path is just going to turn over. And I believe that you're going to plow your way into your destiny. If you want to stand, I really am closing for real. So this is a little bit of a shorter sermon than I normally do. You have a purpose. God has a plan. And there is a destiny out there with your name on it. My Bible says that he who has begun a good work is going to see it through into the day of completion in Christ Jesus. I know that God has already started a good work in my life. I believe that God has already started a good work in your life. And he's going to see it through. He's going to see it through. That's the gist of this message. If you'll get that into your being and just realize, I'm going to be okay. Everything's going to get better. You know, you may be facing bouts of depression. You may be facing thoughts of suicide. You may be thinking a bankruptcy. You may be facing a spouse or a marital situation that looks bleak and looks ugly. You may be facing any of 100 million different ailments that could burden you. A lump in your mom's chest. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. But what I do know is I know the Master. He already has my book laid out. He's already written the pages. And I'm just going from one place to the next of where He's calling me to go. You may say, well, Dylan, that's all nice and good. And that's a really cool Bible story. That's a pretty good sermon you preached there. But I'm not Jonah. I'm not Jonah either. I'm Dylan. I'm not trying to be Jonah. See, if we really look at the text the way that the text is intended to be looked at, is this story, and I know I've even preached it this way, preached it as we are in the position of Jonah. But in all reality, we are not Jonah in the story. We are the city of Nineveh who's lost and know it. Jesus said, I came while you were yet still sinners and I loved you. Jesus is Jonah. Jesus is the one who stepped down out of His kingdom, who went from where was comfortable and went 2,500 miles in the opposite direction so that He could come and live a perfect and sinless and spotless life so that He could be crucified. In the same way that Jonah spent 3 days in the belly of a fish, Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, spent 3 days in the belly of this earth fighting for the keys to hell. But thank God, just the same way that Jonah came back resurrected from the dead, what looked like a bleak and terrible situation where there was no way out, I'm going to die in the belly of this fish, where he came back and he saved a city. My Lord Jesus Christ, he came back from the pits of hell. And he brought defeat and death and hell and sin and everything with him. And he wrapped it up. And he says, I stand victorious in anything you need. I stand in the gap and I hold the keys. And I don't care what situation, what circumstance you're facing. It is not too great for our God to cover, because His blood has already covered the cost of your sin, your iniquity, and everything that you've ever faced in life. He's there. He's covered it. He doesn't have to go to the cross every single time that we mess up, because His grace is sufficient. His mercies are new every single morning for us. That's what my Bible says. And if I believe anything, I believe what thus says the Lord. I love you guys and I appreciate you being here. But I refuse to end this service tonight and not allow you the opportunity to say, you know what, that pastor, that's me. You know, I feel like I've messed up. I feel like I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I feel like I'm in the belly of this fish and I'm just wallowing in my own just junk. And I don't know what to do. Turn to Jesus. Turn to Jesus.